Well, welcome to the online version of the youth message. Tina sent me an email today. They had 6 or 8, I don't remember now, but it was a good amount of youth that went to the Capital City Church of God yesterday, being Wednesday. I'm recording this on Thursday the 26th. Looking forward to the day when we can have our youth back in church with us. So in the meantime, we do what we call the youth message, but it's also geared for everybody because we're all young at heart. Amen. And I entitled my message this week, The Heart's Deceit. And I also want to talk a little bit about the creeds and the deeds that we do in church. And our scripture today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. Now, there's parts in here of the red letter edition, and you can follow along if you go along where it says youth message and you go over where Phil has highlighted Mark chapter 7, and you can follow along. You can pull it up, and he's made it available from the New Living Translation, which is what I use, and you'll see a lot of red letters in there, and those words are contributed or attributed to Jesus. Mark chapter 7, New Living Translation. Now, Jesus was teaching about inner purity. Now, you know, back in the day, they said, well, you got to wash your hands before you eat. Well, that's outer purity, and that's a good idea to do that, even today. But here is what he's teaching. One day, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrive from Jerusalem to confront Jesus. They notice that some of Jesus' disciples failed to follow the usual Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, did not eat until they had poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Similarly, they eat nothing brought from the market unless it's been immersed in their hands in water by their hands. They wash them, like Judy always telling me, to wash the vegetables before you eat them. Well, this is one of the many traditions that they clung to, such as the ceremony of washing cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law ask him, why don't your disciples follow our age-old custom, for they eat without performing the hand-washing ceremony? And Jesus said to them in red letters, you hypocrites! Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is a farce, for they replace God's command with their own man-made teaching. For you ignore God's specific laws and substitute your own traditions. Then he said, you reject God's law in order to hold on to your own traditions. For instance, Moses gave you this law from God. Honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I could have given to you. You let them disgrace their needy parents. As such, you break the law of God in order to protect your own tradition. And this is the only one example. There are many others. Then Jesus called the crowd to come and hear. All of you listen, he said, and try to understand. You are not defiled by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and do. And then Jesus went into a house to get away from the crowds, and his disciples asked him what he meant by that statement that he said. Don't you understand either? He said to the disciples, can't you see? What you eat won't defile you. Food doesn't come in contact with your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then comes out again. And by saying this, he showed that every kind of food is acceptable. And then he added this, and I'll close with the last couple verses. It is the thought life that defiles you. For within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, eagerness for lustful pleasure, every slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within that are what defiles you and makes you unacceptable to God. May he add his blessings to the reading and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Rules. We all have to deal with rules, don't we? Well, do we really need rules? Yeah, I think they do. We need rules. They're sort of like guardrails for our safety and our well-being and our peace of mind, but what feels like a risky journey sometimes is made more secure, and fear of worry by the guidelines, rules, laws, and even our society. But when rules function as our boundaries, our structure, or otherwise aimless endeavors, they comfort us. But when our rules become our journey and our primary focus, the purpose for the trip itself, sometimes we would become prisoners of our own safety nets. How does this happen? Well, it usually has to do with fear. The more we fear a journey or a destination, the more rules that we can attempt to surround ourselves with. In this sense, our rules become an excuse or a cover, a barrier to hide behind, so that we don't have to deal with whatever lies in front of us. Now, rules, when out of hand, can be like weeds that overrun a garden. You know, they can choke our lives and our prospects and our future and our relationships. Now, sometimes we think about rules and we list rules and we want to have rules. But what would you think if you had a next door neighbor? You know, a person with excellent habits or a person with a good heart. That's always a good kind of neighbor we want. Which would you prefer for a good friend, a person of excellent habits or a person with a good heart? Which would you prefer if you were going to get married, for a husband or even a wife? A person of excellent habits or a person with a good heart? That's what Jesus was talking about in the scriptures we read. Which would you prefer for a child? A child with excellent habits or a child with a good heart? Now, we were all children at one time growing up, and some of you out there now are our children now, too, and we would prefer to have a child with a good heart. Amen? But it's wonderful, excuse me, to have a neighbor who consistently and consciously cares for their property while respecting others. It's wonderful to have a friend who always treats you with consideration. And if you're being married or going to be married, it's wonderful to have a husband or a wife who is always thoughtful or courteous, who is gracious in their comments and their deeds. And it's wonderful to have a son or daughter who shows respect and uses good manners. Amen. It's wonderful, all those situations. And none of them can compare to having a neighbor or a friend or a husband or wife or even with a good heart. So when you discuss good behavior, are you discussing quality of a person's self-control? Or when you discuss a good heart, are you discussing the quality of that person? Well, that's the focus today in the scripture that I read. The Pharisees and the teachers have come down from Jerusalem, interestingly, and they gathered around Jesus, watching the disciples. The disciples, it seems, were eating lunch. They had come in from a hard day of work in the ministry, too tired, too hungry to care that they needed their hands and their face washed because they were dirty. They just sat down and didn't think about washing up and started to eat. Well, the Pharisees seized upon this ceremonial oversight and questioned Jesus. Jesus! Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders and clean their hands before they eat? This is all that Jesus needed to hear. He snuck up to his disciples and he turned to these Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers of religious laws. And he simply said to them, why don't you live according to the traditions of God and clean your hearts? Well, you know, in church, we also have creeds, and we recite the creeds a lot in church, and creeds are good, and they're necessary. Almost every Sunday, we say the Apostles' Creed. You see, the church had been saying the Apostles' Creed for almost 1900 years, and it's just one of our rituals or tradition. But does it say anything to make you holy? No. Does memorizing it make you a saint? No, of course not. But if from your heart you earnestly believe in all that that creed teaches, then you're holy. You are a saint. You see, all you have to do is dot the I's and cross the T's in our relationships. And you can perform all the rites and the rituals and recite the things from word to word, but they won't make you clean before God. You see, religion, if it's good religion, is good when it comes from the heart. But I said all that to say this, because they were challenging Jesus about traditions, about old Jewish laws that they said, your disciples aren't following all this stuff, Jesus. And we have traditions too. Creeds and traditions, they're a good thing. Every church has them. Our church has them too, and our traditions should never stand in the way of God's command to love our neighbor and honor our parents. So what is Jesus trying to convey? Not only to them, but also us as well. For you see, it's just as easy for us to fall into a good habit and leave a good heart behind. Our tradition should not kill our compassion. When people are in need and love is called upon, we should set aside all our human rules and act with a human heart. God prefers deeds to creeds. Love over law, hearts over habits. But we should be careful also, because Jesus is not saying to do away with the creeds, not doing away with the law. In fact, he said, I have come not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus admonishes the rulers, and he said, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Well, when it comes to faith and life, I want to ask us all a question. Are our hearts in it? You know what they would do sometimes? They would also just stick their fingers in a bowl and wash their fingers before they eat. But think about that. Are our hearts in it, or only your fingers? Are you allowing God's grace, His renewing grace, to work in you from deep within? For God requires deeds, not creeds. He requires love rather than law, and hearts over habits. Amen. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that, and we are all created to love. That's why we were created to love. So when we open our hearts to God and to others, loosen the rules, if you would, it blocks what hides us and binds us. And when we open our hearts to love. So I want to close by challenging all of us to take a look at the ways of our lives that keeps others out. That fear directs our journey and your relationships that are hidden, and keeps you from being close to God. You see, that's that personal relationship that we have with God through Christ, trusting Jesus to guide you. And a little thought. For when Jesus is driving your car, you have little need for guardrails. Well, I hope and pray that you all are doing well. And thank you for me rambling on this morning. But I hope you are blessed by these little messages called the youth message, because we're all young at heart. Amen.